Snow,
the fishkins.
What? What are they doing here?
Eric Raymond.
They are the new co-stars of the movie.
I thought you were in jail.
Amazing what lawyers can do. If you pay them enough.
You're running a movie studio?
Not just a studio. My father's studio.
We have a new script, but you'll start tomorrow, as scheduled.
Not a chance, Eric. You are nothing but trouble.
Look, you'll do it my way, or not at all.
But it's our movie, and you can't make us do anything.
Oh, no? Well, according to this clause in your contract, if you fail to perform for any reason, you are out. And this movie will make the Misfits the hottest stars in Hollywood.
No!
Now it's garbage.
Movie Night. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my misfit, Joe.
Ooh, Jim, truly outrageous, truly, truly, truly outrageous. But my favorite part of the song is, we are the Misfits, we're gonna get her, our songs are better, we are the Misfits. Hi, I'm Joe.
Hey, thank you. I was wondering we were going to get there. Guess what we're doing?
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review films unless you know what the worst is. And today it's June, and we are watching cartoon shows turned into live action movies. And tonight we are watching a movie with the tagline, every generation needs a voice. We are talking about 2015's Gem and the Holograms. It has a 4.2 on IMDb from 8,520 reviewers and 42 on Metacritic. It was directed by John M. Cho.
Yeah, not John Cho. He's an actor. We know him.
John M. Cho. You actually know this person, too, because he is the director of Wicked, In the Heights, Now You See Me Too, Crazy Rich Asians, and a movie I thought about doing on this month's podcast, G.I. Joe Retaliation. The budget for this movie is $5 million.
He did another Hasbro?
Yes, I'll get into that.
Live action.
He sure did, Joe.
Oh, good Lord.
The budget was $5 million. It grossed $2 million. It is the worst opening of 2015, the fourth worst opening ever for a film screening in more than 2,000 theaters, and the worst ever for a film released by a major studio.
Ouch. Well,
we are talking about Gem. So we just sat here and we just watched it. This is the first time. Joe has a history love of Gem. I do not, because
you were watching G.I. Joe. I was watching Gem.
That's the thing, right? It was the show that I would click off. Because when you're a boy, you don't watch Gem. I mean, usually you click on to Inspector Gadget was definitely on somewhere else, and I had to watch Inspector Gadget.
I was also watching Inspector Gadget, okay? You well, can't have on, the best of both worlds.
What was on, so you don't know either, what was on and the opposite channel when Jim was on? I know, what could it be? I don't remember
that far back. I was a wee lass.
I just thought about the time on the show that I said I was a wee lass.
Yes.
And you
yes, you did.
You broke
say
my
that.
Balls about it for like the whole podcast.
You know, it was funny.
So yeah, I don't have the knowledge or the understanding of the franchise, but I will say that I have given it a chance and that you do play it at night when I'm supposed to be going to bed.
Okay. Well,
and you fall asleep and I have to sit there and watch it a lot of the time.
It's on Tubi, and
it is on Tubi.
A gift to me personally. So I am very happy to watch it laying in my bed.
Here's what I gathered from it. Okay. I gathered there's a lot of singing, the same exact word over and over and over, multiple times in each episode.
What's that?
And it usually has something. Well, each song had like a title, and they would sing that title over and over. And then as I recall, there was always somebody running away from somebody or somebody like longing for someone else. And that's all I remember from every single episode I've ever seen of the show.
Jem is a female woman. She's got, a female woman, mind you. Female woman.
Thank you.
Yes.
She's definitely a female woman.
She is, she's got needs. She's got desires. She's got sadness.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that
she's
go on.
She's got synergy.
She's got synergy.
She's outrageous.
She is outrageous, yeah.
Truly.
Truly, yeah.
And then there's some bad guys in there.
Some bad guys in there.
Who could be working for Cobra Commander on the side. We don't know. The Misfits. We don't know. Do you remember the time that G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe, where Cobra started their own rock band?
I do not.
It was called Cold Slither. I'm not even kidding. This is a thing that happened on the show.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. We're Cold Slither. You'll be joining us soon. A band of vipers playing our tune. With an iron fist and a reptile's hiss, we shall rule. We're tired of words, we've heard it before. We're not gonna play the game no more. Don't tell us what's right, don't tell us what's wrong. To learn to resist, cause Cobra is strong. Just imagine Cobra Commander and Destro singing.
Can you imagine going to like a music festival and it's Jem and the Holograms, the Misfits,
Cold Slither,
and Cold Slither.
And what was the other famous rock band? Oh, or how about River Bottom Nightmare Band?
Oh my God!
That'll go to that.
I mean, that would be that would just be amazing.
We're pulling some really weird things that maybe a lot of people don't know about.
And then the Electric Mayhem is like the headliner.
Oh, see, you didn't put Jem as the headliner. You put the Electric Mayhem.
Well, no one beats the Muppets.
Okay.
I don't care who you are.
Or at least we omitted that. At least we are omitting the definite fact here.
Nobody beats the Muppets, hands down.
I'm trying to remember if anybody else had a band. Every show did. What was Saved by the Bell? What was their band?
Oh, God. I don't know. Zack Attack.
Zack Attack.
Wasn't it Zack Attack? I think it was Zack Attack. Oh, God.
Jesse and the Rippers will be there.
Oh, Jesse and the Rippers. Yeah, Uncle Jesse.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. We're really going down.
He moonlights as the drummer for the Beach Boys.
That's right. He does.
Way down in Kokomo.
Kokomo.
I hate us.
Well, we're talking about a movie, I think, today. I just wanted to set up the fact that I don't know a lot about, I don't have the knowledge that you have. And so I can see that what the problem with this movie is and why it's so lowly rated is because the fans of the cartoon feel like they've been wronged, maybe. But as an outsider looking in, I think it's a little extreme. But we can talk about it as we go along.
All right.
I just wanted to set up where we're coming from as two reviewers.
Okay. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to be screaming and carrying on. I got my issues here.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying, right?
I know. I'm all right.
This is an interesting... This is a unique beast for me because we're so used to on the show watching movies that have really not much going for it and us trying to give it a chance. And I would say that this movie isn't a pile of shit.
Well, I told you over and over, I put this movie Like, there was no way I was watching this movie, period, ever.
That's why we had to do it.
Because I did not want my love, my nostalgia for the 80s to be tainted and just, you know, I don't want to have to facepalm every 3 seconds. I know that's what I was going to be doing. So I didn't want to watch it. I finally gave in because we have a whole plan here, a whole scheme. We're going to watch live action cartoons from our childhood. And I was like, all right, I guess this is now or never, because if it's not now, it's never. I'm not ever going to do this. I never wanted to watch this.
Well, I mean, this also has, not only is it based on a cartoon that you loved when you were a kid and still now, but it also has Molly Ringwald in it, who you also had a long crush with.
Well, I will tell you, she was sweetening the deal at first.
Yeah.
But I figured that, okay, she's not going to be in the movie enough. And so true. It's not going to drag me to the theater. So I was like, all right, I just can't do this. I just can't.
I will say this though. This movie instead did have an actress in throughout the whole movie who is extremely attention grabbing. And that would be Juliette Lewis.
Yes.
Who, I would say that she can make anything funny.
She's literally, every time she does anything, she brings it.
Yeah.
She's very fun to watch.
Yes.
So
I agree.
I was happy to see her in this.
Jerrica Benton, come over here. Jerrica Benton, you are cute and quirky and no longer Jerrica.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? The whole world wants to know who you are right now, which means so much free publicity. This is exactly the artist that Starlight has been looking for. Equal parts talent and mystery. Talent, mystery. Which reminds me, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, all of that, until further notice, none of it.
Thank God.
Wait, what?
She's so awesome.
And the money. You get paid. Who doesn't want money? After the last show, you get a paycheck. But that's not what this is about. I want you all to think of this as an opportunity to reinvent yourselves. Escape, you know? It's forget all that dismal mediocrity that you grew up in.
Because I knew that we weren't going to get a lot of Molly, and we weren't going to.
Yes,
we didn't.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, you know.
I mean, that's some things going forward that I was like, you know what? Yeah, all right. So we're watching this movie. It's so easy to talk about because the movie, it begins, it just thrusts into someone's telling a story on a video and they're telling it to us, the audience. And it's basically them telling the tale of this movie. So we know that, you know, oh, she's in dire straits. Something happened and she has to tell the world what really happened. And then we flash back into her life and we get a setup. And that is our main character, Jerrica.
Jerrica?
Sorry, Jerrica.
Jerrica? You're pissing me off.
Jerrica. It's such an interesting name. Every time I hear it, I'm like, it doesn't sound like a real name at all. Like, I don't know what it is. My mind can't connect to it. But yeah, Jerrica.
Well, this is a cartoon from the 80s, and they don't have very, like, I wouldn't say very traditional names, because there's a lot of characters in this cartoon series that are, you know, have kind of neat names. You know, there's Aja, there's Rio, there's, I mean, Stormer.
It screams the 80s.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's a, you know, and Kimber, like, you didn't hear all these names back then, you know?
Yeah, a lot of fueled by cocaine naming, I would think.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's like, what's the singer of this band's name? I don't know, Pizzazz.
We are the Misfits, our songs are better.
I did that to myself. I set myself up for that one.
We're gonna get her.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I'm done.
Is Zipper in the show?
Yes.
Okay.
So he's playing the same exact character in the live action movie that he's playing in the cartoon. He's
okay.
He's like a bullying, like, henchman for Eric. But see, Juliette Lewis is playing Jerrica Raymond. In the show, this is a gender swap. In the cartoon show, it's actually Eric Raymond, and he's a real asshole, and he has, like, a, you know, a right-hand man named Zipper. So that's true, but okay. There's this gender swap with Julia Lewis. That's what they did.
I can see why. I mean, Okay, well, let's talk about it. So we find out about this character's life. She lives at home with her actual living sister and two other girls who are adopted sisters.
Okay, so this is how it really goes in the cartoon show, is that Jerrica is much older in the cartoon show.
Yes, I know.
She runs Starlight House, which is confusing, for a house for like runaways or, you know, abandoned kids, like girls. And so Aja and Shayna are two of those, like, you know, girls that live in the Starlight House with her and Kimber. Mm-hmm. And she helps take care of them. She also runs Starlight Entertainment. So
she's like the everything.
Yeah.
You can see why they had to drop that.
Yeah, they had to.
You can't make a movie with the main character having no problems, except for the fact that it's like, I have a secret identity.
Right.
You have to make this thing work.
I mean, I was thinking that too. I was like, okay, how are they going to do this? Yes. Because this is, they're teenagers. So, I mean, they can't do everything that did in the cartoon and make it work. They just can't.
So I have questions. So to finish setting up here, they all live in this house together, and they live with her aunt.
Okay, so Aunt Bailey, who's Molly Ringwald in this, I guess this is supposed to be their father's sister.
Yes.
And then she took them in along with two adoptive daughters. We don't ever see a guy. But in the TV show, Mrs. Bailey was the housekeeper at Starlight House. Okay. So she lived there. But she wasn't part of the family. She was just the housekeeper.
Okay, it's kind of a creative thing. Because in the show, and I guess I got to ask questions now, because already I kind of have a question here. In the cartoon, is it suggesting that she had a father who has passed away? Jem.
Oh, 100%. He builds the computer, but the voice of the computer is her mom.
Okay, so that's my question here. What happened to the mom and dad?
Supposedly, the mom died in a plane crash.
Oh, okay? Of course.
But they don't really talk much about her mom in the cartoon. It's usually just like, if they mention anything about her past, it's her father building Synergy.
Okay.
And
the father died...
I don't know how he died.
In the show, they don't talk about it.
No, I don't recall them ever saying how he died.
It's like, because this is a show for kids, we got to show that you don't need a parent, you got to be a strong, you can grow up to be a strong woman on your own.
Jerrica's at least 21, 22.
I get that. Here, we're told that, I don't remember the movie talking so much about the mother either, but I do know that the father is a central part of this film. Mm-hmm. He is basically, because she's grown up without her parents and kind of being a big sister, which is questionable because the sisters seem like they're the same age.
Yeah.
In this, which is also weird to the plot when the father needs to talk about Jerrica. Because when he does talk about her, it's like, oh, and the other sister. Like, they actually have to have that line put in, which is weird.
And now the hardest thing that a father can do is to let his little girl go. But you're ready. You have so much ahead of you, Jerrica. And where you go now is up to you. Use all you've learned to be the best version of yourself you can be. Oh, and just so you know, my greatest creation was never Synergy. It's always you and Kimber. Be there for each other. Time with family, with the ones you love most, there's nothing more valuable than that. I wish I could be there with you to see the person you've become. But I am still with you, Jerrica. And in my heart, you'll always be my Gem.
Because it almost feels like a lot of the movie was done in reshoots. And I have a lot of thoughts that maybe that's what happened here. I don't know. I guess we got to talk about it. Because when we meet these characters, we find out that Jerrica has a problem with, you know, she's talented. and she can sing and she can play guitar and she's very musically inclined. But the problem is that she doesn't have self-esteem. So it's a lot about which I think I have a huge problem here, because this is a clever idea for the cartoon of why synergy could exist. Like in the cartoon, she uses it to mask her real identity.
Mm-hmm.
So she can become two people and she can fund the halfway house, right?
Well, yeah, Jem pretty much came about because Starlight House burned to the ground, okay, in the cartoon. It burned to the ground and they were homeless. So she needed money. She needed to, like, you know, get money quick so she can rebuild Starlight House and these kids will have some place to live. So then the whole Jem persona came out from, like, that.
So she did it because it was like, I want to be this thing, but I also could use success. So why use synergy? Why not just be Jem?
Yeah, well, she didn't really realize that she could be Jem until she found synergy.
Yeah, but my question is, why even need it?
I mean, you really don't.
Yeah, what is the, why is she hiding a secret identity like a superhero in the show? Is it because, I know that there's some stupid love triangle where a guy's in love with Jem, but not Jerrica.
Okay, so that's Rio?
Yeah.
But so
that's in the show, right?
It is in the show. So Rio is Jerrica's boyfriend, but he also has a crush on Jem.
And
he has no idea that the two are the same person.
Okay.
Besides, you were about to tell me something important.
I guess I can't.
You can't? You know what? You and Kimber are two of a kind. Keep your secrets. I've had enough.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and my question is, why hide it? Like, why? What is her goal? Like, what is it that she's hiding it
for? I really don't even know how to answer that. I don't know. I mean, that's not something they really address in the show.
It's not like, will it blow up her world if she reveals that Jerrica is Jem?
I mean, I guess. I mean,
what world is she hiding?
Well, she Starlight Entertainment. You know, like she can't be like, you know, the biggest selling artist in her own company. You know,
is that true? Is that a thing?
I mean, I'm guessing.
Why?
This is just me speculating.
What other like famous musicians have started their own labels? Like
right.
A lot.
I know. Well,
yeah.
This is a.
I don't know. I'm questioning it because in this I'm like, you know what? If you're gonna take that premise that seems very sketchy from the cartoon show, which I mean, let's face facts, it was made to sell toys. You know, and it was made to sell dolls and stuff like that. This is Hasbro. I mean, that's what they did. And it's shocking how successful they got their cartoons when they were just made to sell toys. I mean, people love Transformers today. Like there's no, it's, you know, it's just crazy. And same thing with G.I. Joe. And I was thinking to myself while watching this movie, oh, what a clever idea. If you have to make Jem in our world now, what a clever idea it would be to make it so it's a person who has low self-esteem and is shy and doesn't know how to deal with the world, but wants to use like her talents, but is afraid to do it. You become another persona. And I was like, okay, that's actually a really cool thing to deal with. Like maybe, you know, depression and stuff like that. They could do a lot with this.
I mean, it worked for Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it works for a lot of people.
He became a completely different person.
You pretend to be something else. I mean, look at Sia, right?
Yeah.
Like Sia does this whole thing where she covers herself up and all that. And that is a really interesting thing to dive into and explore. And I think this would, and I think this movie kind of does it, but the problem is it doesn't do it enough. It's not a central theme. And unfortunately, the Jem character is not created because of her. It starts out that way because what happens in the beginning of this movie is that she starts a YouTube page because she finds out that they're going to lose the house because Molly Ringwald is running everything by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's questionable that these kids are out of school, what they're doing. They're obviously graduates.
No. I mean, there's
no graduated.
Way.
There's no school in this.
I mean, they don't. They just forget that school exists.
They do, but they would have to be over 18. They would have to be 19 in this movie.
I mean, that wouldn't make any sense for Kimber.
Is the one that doesn't make much sense. But I would say that they have to be at least 18 and 19, at least 20. It has to be. And that's why I was questioning, why don't they have jobs? Why aren't they helping Molly Ringwald?
Right.
I don't understand this, but because of this threat to lose the house, they, by the way, they also set up that each girl has like a talent that means absolutely nothing to the movie.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Well,
one's like, she's a tech expert. Is she going to use the tech for synergy? No. The other one's like, I can do outfits.
Okay,
Aja, I'm never going to do that again.
Aja in this movie, I believe she was the one that did the fashion. But it's funny because in the cartoon, Aja was like a car mechanic. She was like a tomboy.
Okay, that's
kind of
cool.
She did all like the, you know, workings of all the cars and stuff. Like, she's cool. But she was not a fashion designer by any stretch.
Okay.
So...
And when they set that up, I was like, oh, this is going to be a big part of everything that happens. No, we're never going to talk about it again. Mm-mm. And so, Jerrica is forced to start a YouTube channel and play music because her last only effort to think of how to save the house and get money is maybe try to use her talent. And by the way, I guess Molly Ringwald is some kind of music teacher-esque character because she has all the girls do music in sync.
Girls, come on. Kimber, hit a C note.
Seriously,
Anthony? Yeah, seriously, let's go. Very nice. Kimber, you were a little flat.
What?
Shayna, you were a little sharp.
Yeah.
And they
can all
it.
Sing. It's, they can all play instruments.
Yeah, it's very
pitch
perfect.
It's just like in the cartoon, they play, you know, they play the drums, they put the keyboard, you know, all that. So
she does this YouTube channel. Now, she does this. She doesn't really believe in herself. She doesn't believe in herself, but she forces herself to do it. And she covers herself up and makes the persona Jem. And I was like, I love this idea. I really think this is a clever writing tool to make Jem work. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, though. She's only going to make one song, and she's going to be an instant overnight success?
This reminds you lost me of me freaking movie. Hannah Montana.
It's
you know? Like, didn't she have, like, a daytime life, and then at night she became... Or is that Hannah Montana?
I've never watched it.
It's not Miley Cyrus, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that show was about.
Okay, I never watched that either.
Daytime regular girl, and then at night she was like a superstar, and she wore a wig, and she changed who she was.
Well, I see now. I feel like Hannah Montana might have been ripping off Jem.
100%.
So, okay, so I don't even know why that's even in the question if Jem did that first.
Right, no, I know, but I mean,
someone else did that first, by the way.
This girl, you know, it just seemed like that's where they were going with her.
Okay.
It was just weird.
I feel like they were going that way, and I felt like that was a really interesting idea. And I was like, oh, they could really do a lot with, like, mental health and believing in yourself and making it a core thing, you know, feeling empowered. And I was like, oh, this is a cool idea. I really like this. Like I said, her sister Kimber, which I love that name too, by the way, Kimber, she posts it online without her knowing, and it blows up overnight instantly.
I mean, when they say became an overnight sensation,
yes,
this movie does not give a fuck, okay? Yeah. They literally just, I mean, people are screaming and holding signs like this is like, you know, Madonna in 1985, you know, like, come on.
I will only say that happens when they start pushing it in the media. Like, that becomes a bigger thing and she becomes a sensation. Now, here's where one of the things that the movie fails on. They needed to have her put up more videos.
Yeah, it was just one song.
Yeah, she should have done more songs, more setup to that. And have them slowly keep building to a phenomenon where maybe she had an album.
Yeah, so
and then that would
Juliet
be interesting.
Juliet Lewis hears the song, and oh, when you know it, overnight they're being taken to L.A.
Yeah, she says she's gonna sign her.
You're gonna sign her.
She's gonna pick her up, and they're gonna do three, like what's that called? Like they pop up shows.
Pop up shows.
Three pop up shows are gonna show up in L.A. and they're gonna make her famous. And she says, you have to take my whole band with me, which is my family. So, okay. Well, by the way,
they never ever call them the holograms, though.
Yes,
ever.
It happens at the very end of the movie. So she's like, you have to take my whole band. Never once do they say they have a band name. They're just calling themselves Jem at this time. But she also has this device laying around from her father that she's never figured out. It's been like a broken device that her father was trying to invent before he passed away. Mm-hmm. And that's called Synergy. It's actually numbers, but it looks like it says Synergy.
Yeah.
So it's a robot on one wheel, and it's like a little, I don't know. It looks like one of those little robots you have for companion, little talking robots to help the kids.
It's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. It's
actually not badly done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually was like, okay, again, I think this is cool. And she has these earrings that he also made. And she takes them with her. She takes them with her from like, and you kind of go, okay, I think I know where this is going. And this is going to help her make her persona of Jem. And then the movie's like, no, we're not going to do any of that anymore.
No, nope.
We're going to move on. She is still going to instead, Juliet Lewis's character, the record producer, she is going to come up with all the ideas. She's going to be like, oh, and by the way, you're Jem forever. We're going to have it a mystery. And so you're getting the two ends of the spectrum. We're going to have talent and mystery, something we're lacking in music. And I was like, okay, this also makes sense. I can see where they're going with this. But I also know where we're going to go with this, which is the cliche of the record producer being an asshole. For no reason. Like, okay, so you have this band, right? And by the way, you know, we get all the cliches of these music movies. We get them trying on clothes, them learning how to walk, putting makeup on, you know, becoming a band before they even
try
to do music.
Yeah, the makeover montage. You need the makeover montage.
Yeah, and we meet Rio, which is in this movie, Juliet Lewis's character's son, which we're very questioning if it's a stepmother. We're not really sure, but we did the age on this, and we saw this. She would have had to have had him at 14.
Yeah. First of all, he never once, let me tell you, if that was his stepmom, he would acknowledge that was his stepmom. He out and out says mother. He says it three times. That's my mother.
Which makes it crazy for the turn later on. But yeah. Now, okay. So, on their first pop-up show, I guess before the pop-up show, there is a thing with Synergy where they find out that Synergy awakens when it comes close to L.A. So it had some kind of mechanism. If she ever got to L.A., it would turn on. Now, that's a huge if for the father to set up.
Right. Like, how could you even anticipate?
Know that she would go there?
So
with the robot.
Right. With the robot. Like, she could have just assumed that thing doesn't work. You know, he never finished it. Why even bother with it?
And she only took it on a whim.
Yeah.
And so when it awakens, it shoots like a hologram out. So it's like our only holograms in this movie come from the Synergy robot. And the hologram is giving them a map. Basically like an Easter egg hunt. So they go on a hunt and they find pieces to put into Synergy to unlock something.
Right.
And they had to figure out through the whole movie. And the first one is like on a boardwalk. And the second one, well, I guess we should talk about the boardwalk because I think you wrote some stuff down. They have like a sing-along for the first time where the connection starts with
Rio. First of all, Rio doesn't sing in the show. Yeah. Why would you even make him sing? Like, are we doing like a freaking boy band here now? Come on,
this
stop.
Is very Pitch Perfect-esque.
I mean, they picked a good actor to play Rio. He's handsome. Yeah. I think he was a good character.
He's in that funny-ass movie with Jennifer Lopez where she's a teacher and she's having sex with him. Do you remember that one? I was laughing. I think it's called A Boy Next Door.
Oh, no, I don't.
I remember he like bought her like the first edition of a book that's impossible to give somebody.
I remember, yeah.
I just remember laughing for the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have a sing-along.
Here on my own throne.
So,
come a little closer now. Listen to us all a little.
Ooh.
We got nothing here to hide.
We don't gotta hide, no. But we don't gotta fake you out,
no. I'll be shooting down the middle.
Just, the whole point is, like, they have to collect these extra parts for Synergy to, I guess, finalize, like, make him, you know, be whole. And her father had all these parts, but he sent her on some freaking scavenger hunt.
He hid them everywhere.
Yeah.
I guess
to find the parts. Why?
It's hoping that when she turned a certain age, that she would become adventurous. Like, he hoped that she would be not bogged down and use her talents. Now, she lost two parents.
Yeah.
And who knows where she would be with her sister. And so it's a high hope, but apparently it worked out for him. So, like, it worked out because the Easter egg hunt, everything is exactly where he left it.
Right.
Even when they drew on the sidewalk in front of a house, the signature is still in the ground.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking to myself, yeah, I've seen my sidewalk in front be fixed 100 times. In only a couple of years, she's been like away from this house since at least 5 years.
I know. And it's funny too, because like everything that Synergy is attached to, like all the little projections that Synergy gives off onto the ceiling and all that in the map,
mm-hmm.
is the logo for Starlight Entertainment.
It is.
Now,
yes.
Here's the thing that bothers me. In the cartoon, Jem's father owned Starlight Music and left it to her. That's what happens in the show. And so how do you make it make sense in this if the logo is on everything? Are they just saying that that's fate, that she's supposed to be connected to Starlight? It's just weird.
That is strange.
Like, I mean, she...
And also, he has an attachment to music, we find out. But why? Like, it makes sense for what you're saying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense in the movie why music is so important to his family. And also, by the way, he made Synergy only communicate in beeps and, like, basically in tones and musical notes.
Right.
Right? Like, he only speaks in music.
Yeah, it's like a beep, boop, beep, yeah. boop. Yeah.
And that's how he connects with everything through music. So he is very musically inclined. So it is questionable why music is a part of his family if it's not going to be about the owning the business.
Right. They have like a special whistle that makes Synergy work. And then the girls know the special whistle and all that. So yeah, it is weird. I don't understand why you would put that logo and make it such a big part of Synergy when Starlight has nothing to do with Jem or Jerrica at all.
Yes.
It's weird.
I don't know. I guess it's
like, it was her father's company. It was her father's company. It made sense that, you know, they could have done something in there where, you know, he did own the company, and then when she became 18 or whatever, she would inherit it or something. But none of that happens. It's weird. Because in the cartoon, she does own Starlight Entertainment. That's her dad left it to her. So it's weird.
It is a strange choice. I know that the movie is trying to get to this, like, touching moment thing between a daughter and a father, and I don't think it's terrible. And I will say this, by the way, the lead actress, not bad in this film.
No, she's not bad.
She's not bad. She can sing. She's talented. And I also think, my chair is nosy. I also think that there's something about her that kind of works for what the movie's doing. It's just, it's very sketchy on how the movie's working. One of the things in particular about the plot that pisses me off is that the first pop-up gig, they get it only because Synergy tells them it's the next location to go to is at this very important club that hasn't been ripped down, that hasn't been changed.
Yep.
It hasn't been repurposed. And the where he hid it has also never been touched, which is a guitar. Now, you've seen musicians. They're going to grab those damn guitars. Like, I mean, people are going to mess with guitars. I'm shocked that, you know, basically isn't going to be touched. But they actually get into this gig, which is supposed to be a hard place to get into, only because Rio pulls a lot of strings to help them out find the next synergy thing. So they go to this thing, and it's the first time Jem is ever going to perform live.
Mm-hmm.
Of fans. These are the ones that show up with the damn banners. And she's only, at this point, we're like, she only had one song.
Right.
Like, there is no way these people would be this out of control. And this is where you needed to establish more songs on the internet.
Yeah, but making they didn't her a celebrity. Do that. It's like, you know, like, there's a lot of people that started out on YouTube that sing, you know, were just making videos and singing and became super popular and stuff. But it didn't just happen overnight.
Exactly.
You know?
And this movie also, I'm on the fence with this part. This movie cleverly comes up with an idea to also showcase other YouTube celebrities who have made music. Not celebrities, but YouTubers who have made music. And they use them as these emotional score things. It's a clever idea to give a showcase to other YouTubers who have made music and basically say other musicians should be famous. It goes into the theme of the movie, and I think it's a very clever idea, but it happens very awkwardly in a lot of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
I do respect what they're trying to get at, but every time it comes, it's like, feels a little off. Something. Yeah. And this is one of the things that I was going to say, that the movie utilizes everything but Jem singing throughout half the film.
Mm-hmm.
Of the first half of the film, before she starts singing, uses everything else. And I'm like, I think they forgot this is like a musical. It kind of is a musical at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You could have used music a little better.
Yeah.
She does use it to get Rio to be on their side. You know, stuff like that makes sense. But when they go to this first show now, here's where I'm laughing. For some odd reason, it's a huge success. They sing the song. It's actually pretty good. I don't mind the music in this movie at all. When it comes to Jem singing, I don't think any of the songs are from the show at all.
No.
Yeah, not and even
in fact,
close.
I think it was actually Hilary Duff that was singing.
Oh my God, is that true?
I think so.
I thought it was this actress.
No, there was a couple songs in there that weren't hers, that were this regular soundtrack stuff.
Oh, that sucks. I thought they wrote these songs for the movie.
But, yeah,
that makes sense, though. I didn't look into that.
Because I did, like, a Shazam thing, and I wanted to know who was singing it, if it was the girl, the actress, and it came up as Hilary Duff. Yeah, Youngblood. Youngblood is Hilary Duff. But it looks like the other one, Hit Me Up and Alone Together, that says Jem in the Hologram, so that was actually the actress.
Okay.
Yeah, but then there's another one in there that Hailee Steinfeld sang.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Which one? Okay, because we'll get to that. I guess I'll just ask. There was one song that she does by herself on stage where you said it was like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
That song is really good. Who the hell did that?
Is it I'm Still Here? That was her. I'm Still Here, that was her, yeah.
The actress?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I wonder, did they write that for this movie?
I think so.
That's actually pretty good.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that wasn't a bigger hit. Like,
it says 13 songs performed mainly by two of the protagonists in the film, Aubrey Peebles and Stephanie Scott. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I was impressed with a lot of the musical and like when they did the songs.
Mm-hmm.
The one they do at this club that I was bringing up. What's funny about it here is that the lights go out. For some reason, they lose power. We're never told what happened here,
mm-mm,
but they lose power. And she, before they lose power, she realizes that there's a guitar on the wall. That's what she needs because she recognizes it as her dad's guitar, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. But she sees that in the crowd. And then when the lights go out, she comes up with this great idea to ask the audience to put their phones up and put the lights on and then help with a beat. Now, the whole audience knows the song.
Yeah, it's been like, I don't know, one day. And they know all of her songs, which she only has, what, two?
One. This is the first time they're hearing this one, I would think.
That's true, actually, because she was literally an overnight success.
Yes. So, okay, I do like this scene. And what's cool about it is, because they have no, you know, electricity, the other girls in the band make the beats with other things.
Mm-hmm.
They're like telling the audience to do this, follow the beat with their feet and stuff like that. And the band is coming together in a way where it's a huge success. And they're looking at Juliet Lewis and they're like, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a phenomenon. This is going to be a phenomenon. Like, look how great she is. Look how great they are. And then of course that her next thought is, yeah, they're so great. They're so great. I'm going to get rid of all of them except that one. And I'm like, why? This is a cliche that I wish would go away.
It is, because, like, you know, it's like Josie and the Pussycats. You remember the movie?
Yeah, we want to get rid of the band. But the band is what made everybody famous.
It was based on our beloved Archie characters.
Yes.
But, like, can we talk about real quick the cameo that I was hoping for happened, which was Britta Phillips. She's the singing voice of Jem.
Mm-hmm.
I really was just hoping that she would just belt out a number.
The other actress is in this too. She was the hairstylist that was putting the pink hairs on her. That was the voice of Jem.
The speaking voice of Jem. Oh,
she was the
Samantha.
Blakely.
Samantha. Is I know
that
her name.
Newark or something like that.
Samantha Newer?
Yeah.
Newark?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. She was the one
putting the pink hairs on her when they were like testing out hairs. And they're like, everybody loves pink hair.
I don't even recall them showing her face.
Yeah, I know that's her. Here's an interesting fact. Now, this kind of leads me to believe that maybe there was reshoots that added in things like Synergy, because it almost feels like Synergy is an afterthought. Sometimes he disappears from the movie. They forget.
Yeah.
When that actress showed up in real life, she was told by somebody they're doing a movie. She had no idea. No one ever approached her. And she was like shocked. She was like, oh, that would have been nice for someone to come and tell us, because, you know, maybe they're going to use the music that I sang or whatever.
God.
And so then kind of it was like an uproar, like online. People were mad. Like, how could you not have the original people involved in this? At least cameos. And so they did put them in cameos.
I mean, I didn't see the other ones, but I definitely picked out Britta because I was looking for her. I was hoping that she was going to show up, you know, just a little nostalgic flair I had. But I was waiting and waiting. I had to wait too long, but I also didn't, it wasn't fulfilling, you know, because only 40 something
that
loved Jem in like the 80s and grew up with Jem, that we will know who Britta Phillips is, you know?
Yeah. It's like when Kimber early on says, you know, you truly are outrageous. And it's like when she said it, even the actress was kind of like, oh, it's a terrible line.
I know it is. And, you know, also they did try where, you know, Jem in the cartoon always says, like, right before a show, she'll say, it's showtime, Synergy.
And she did it once in this one.
And she did that. And then she also said, show's over, Synergy. She said that. So I thought that was kind of cute. But, you know, one thing that I would say is that they did the best they could, I think. But,
they struggled with the concept. That's what I wanted to get at. Because they had this concept, and then they seemed to move away from that concept and do the normal, every single, like, everyday writing. Where it's like, now the record producer is going to take over, and now she's going to lose her sisters, and she's got to fight for her sisters back. And now we got to like go back to the plot and beat the record producer. I've seen this in 100 movies.
No, of course. But I mean, I was just going to say that they did the best that they could with like incorporating, I mean, let's face it. It was a huge computer in the cartoon, you know?
Yes.
So they did the best they could with, incorporating Synergy, because you can't just, you know, shine a beam of light and then Jerrica turns into Jem like magic, you know, like in the show. They couldn't do that. It's so crazy. It's of a concept.
Well, you know? I mean, look, the whole concept of this is crazy. The fact that they have a rolling computer that can shoot like a hologram out, and at the end of the day, it serves really no purpose except for closure for Jerrica.
Yeah.
And in this movie anyways. And I think that they could have used it to help with the persona.
Yeah.
And it would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the synergy thing could have been interesting. I think that in the concept of this movie about, you know, having problems with your identity and stuff like that, and not feeling secure in yourself to do this kind of stuff, to have Synergy take over and say, you know, basically her go, I can be another person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool concept that they could have explored. Instead, yeah, they kind of like just wimped out. And that's why I'm saying that, like, they got there, they wimped out on it, and just went normal generic plot.
Yeah, it was definitely a generic plot. I mean, I just wish that, I mean, I'm just trying to think of like how they could have done Synergy better. And I think you're right. Like, they could have maybe projected, you know, he could have projected something to her, like, you know, you could be, that this could be your new persona, or helping her out in that way. You can wear this or dress like this or put this makeup on or have this hair. Instead of like all the stylists and the freaking, you know,
yes, dance that's exactly
teachers
right.
Yeah. And the freaking makeup artists and all the stuff that they put their, you know, the whole group through, they could have utilized like Synergy more.
Like a digital closet on like herself.
Yeah,
and she's looking in the mirror and she's like, I can be anything.
Right.
And I can make Jem whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have been a lot of fun. And they also could have set up more of Rio meeting Jem first and having a crush on her and then not knowing who Jericho was. And then that could have been like something.
Right. Well, see, like, I don't know. In the show, Jericho and Rio are a thing.
Yes.
And Jem comes later. So like he meets Jem and he's like, you know, flirting with her and stuff. But, you know, they were already a thing.
I got you.
Oh, Rio. Rio.
No, this is wrong. I can't hurt Jericho like this.
But Rio! Jem! We thought we'd lost you. Are you hurt?
I'm okay. Thanks to Rio.
I want those misfits found, and when I do...
Oh, Countess! Thanks for the great party.
We simply must do it again sometime.
Love the hors d'oeuvres!
He and, well, Jericho.
It's like the Lois Lane and Superman thing, right? It's like they could have done that here anyways, that he could have like met Jem, had a crush on Jem, of course, because she's a celebrity, but then fall in love with Jericho and feel off because he also has a thing with Jem, and then realize it's the same person.
Right.
Like, you love me either way.
Right.
Like, that could have been a cool thing to explore that would also have tied into the narrative of her needing to see that she's talented and worthy of not changing herself, and being herself is the thing that, you know, she needed, and him loving both of them could have played into that. You know, like, that's an easy way to write this script, but unfortunately in this movie, they're just like, fuck it. Screw it. Like, you can tell every scene. Like, I honestly believe that there was a part in this movie where they were like, they must have went back and did reshoots, because I feel like the actress coming back to do that scene as the stage manager had to be an added in. And the fact that Synergy itself seems almost second thought.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Synergy does take a backseat to everything else, which it's kind of weird because, like, I mean, when I say take a backseat, I mean, it really doesn't, because there's a lot of plot that involves, you know, Jericho trying to figure out the map and figure out the treasure hunt and figure out the pieces and stuff. But, you know, it could have just been a situation like we just talked about, where it was helping her along in her journey. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is just like your run of the mill. This is exactly like Josie and the Pussycats. It's exactly like that. They get brought in by a big record producer, which, you know, know is Alexandra.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they change their whole being and they become something that they're not, and it's the same shit. It's the same run-of-the-mill garbage.
And it happens here too, because like Juliet Lewis, of course, makes her sign a contract, which I, by the way, this is so funny, of course she's like, you're gonna drop the band, even though the huge thing that just happened where your band helped save the day during an electrical out,
right?
I don't want them around anymore. And she signs it Jem, which I thought was really funny, because I was like, well, Jem's not a person. And here's another thing that I love about this sequence. Juliette Lewis is like, you know, anybody could be Jem. You said it yourself. And so I could just replace you. And I was like, could you? Because she made this all work.
Right.
Why would you want to destroy a good thing?
Right.
Why would you want to hurt? It's such a dumb thing for a character to do when you know this is a success there. You know, it's like the Beatles. They didn't go, I like two of you, but get rid of the rest. You know, right. Like, it's kind of like they did, someone did come in and say, I don't know, maybe you want to meet this other drummer. I don't think this drummer's up to stuff. And so they did, but they didn't say, get rid of the young kid, like George Harrison, get rid of him, he's young.
Right, yeah.
Well, we want you two in the front, Paul and John.
It's happened like, before where the bandmates get replaced later on down the line and stuff like that. But
because of problems. Like,
not like, you know, a minute into the freaking whole thing. I mean, and also, didn't they sign contracts? So you can't just boot them out.
They said they made it seem like in this movie, they just went on tour, then got a contract.
Yeah.
Which was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, these girls look all of 17 years old.
We
okay?
kept questioning it. Like,
there's no way
they're
signing a fucking contract. It's not a legally binding thing when you're 17 years old. It's like Molly Ringwald just lets them go run amok. She doesn't even like care. She's not in the movie.
Yeah. Can we talk about Molly Ringwald? Because so Molly Ringwald shows up in this movie. This is her first appearance in a theater release movie after 14 years of a hiatus from film. Like, she took a 14-year hiatus.
The last thing we saw her in before this was not another teen movie.
That's the last one that she did 14 years before this.
It was just a quick cameo at the end.
Yeah. I thought she did another movie, but this is what the information was. I thought she was in that Mrs. Tingle movie or whatever. Didn't she do something for...
Teaching Mrs. Tingle?
Yeah, I thought she was in something like that.
I don't know. Is she in that?
I don't know. I had to look into it a little better. But that's what I saw when I looked it up. And I was laughing. I'm like, what a weird thing to come back as... to do, because she also disappears from the movie. She's like,
right,
you questioned, why isn't she going on tour with them? Don't they need an adult? And I'm like, they're definitely out of school.
But here's the thing. I know why they picked Molly Ringwald. Okay, they picked her because she's an 80s queen. Yeah. All right, got that. That's out of the way. But when it comes to these girls, it's like, okay, are we to believe that because she's losing her house and, you know, she's struggling, that she's just going to allow all of this biz to happen and then, you know, they're going to go and be famous and
she
save the
house?
She
actively encourages it. She's like totally on board for it.
I mean, it's just a bit much. I mean, these are clearly like high school age girls. Okay, clearly. They have no business signing contracts or going across the country or whatever without a guardian.
Yeah.
So, and she's just very like... accepting of the whole thing.
Yeah, very, you know? Accepting of it, even when Juliette Lewis comes in the house and kind of insults them. You know, like, oh, you get away from this crappy life, you know? And they show Molly Ringwald kind of get, like, pissed off about it, which is an end snub later on when Molly Ringwald gets to say it back to her.
Right.
Whatever. But when the band does get broken up, you know, Jem goes on. I guess we should talk about Jem's look. That's a weird thing, right? So how do you update it? Now here, I have to say this. The Jem and the Holograms look more like the Misfits than Jem in this movie. They're wearing spiky jackets.
I was thinking it too.
They're very punk rock. And I gotta say, I like the look. I don't mind the look in this movie of these characters. I actually thought it was very interesting. I was like, this is cool. It does match today's music a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it, but it doesn't feel Jem at all. And I'm like, this is where Synergy could have really played a part.
Yeah, like Synergy could have come up with something, you
know?
I was
waiting for it, even at the end, to do something to it, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It absolutely means nothing. Basically, when they get all the parts of Synergy and they put it all together, it just makes a video message from her father. Mm-hmm. It's a touching moment. It isn't badly done. I think a lot of the things work. It's just as a full movie, there's a lot of parts of it that go, oh man, what a missed opportunity. What a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or very cliche, you know, like with the father leaving a message. It's like, this is what he wanted, was the, hey, you know, I believe in you. I'm always with you. It took you 6 years to figure this out. You know, oh, and by the way, your sister too. Like, the
right,
best things,
like,
I ever did was you.
He just,
and your sister.
I know. He acts like she's the only kid that he has. It's like, what?
Doesn't it feel like an afterthought that they put that in? They're like, oh, Kimber is her sister.
Right.
She almost feels like an like a redone part, or like they added it in later on. They're like, oh, maybe they're just an adopted sister as well. But the movie was like, no, they've got to be sisters.
Yeah. No, they were actually sisters in the cartoon. So I get it. But like, I don't know. I just have a hard time with this because it's like when you're, this is what, 2015 it came out?
Yes.
Okay. So the original Gem came out in 1985. So it lasted 3 seasons. No kids today that are watching this movie are going to understand anything that the original show had going on because they never seen it. I mean, unless they had really cool moms, you know, like my friend Angela, who is probably showing her kid Gem.
Yeah. So that's something I wanted to tell you about. Links to that. Mm-hmm. You were talking about it during the movie when they show a lot of YouTubers or people on like Instagram or Facebook or whatever. They're all sending in like video messages that they kind of link together. And there's a lot of people clearly wearing the cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
Like shirts and stuff like that. They kind of try to hide it a little bit. So what happened here was, this is interesting. You said all these kids know who, there's like little kids doing it. The fun fact of that is those people are actually fans of the cartoon. So what they did was they wanted to bring all fans into making the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, oh, we want everybody to send in messages about what Gem means to them. And they also had the people at the concerts, actual Gem fans. That's mm-hmm. probably why some of those extras in the background were a little awkward. And you were pointing out, it's because I think they're not extras. I think they were just fans of Gem in general.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So here's where things get a little sketchy though. So all these people were told that they were going to make videos about what Gem means to them. So when you saw little kids in the videos holding up like Gem art,
mm-hmm.
that was real. Those are actual kids that were fans of the cartoon, probably because of their mothers or their, you know, whatever, whoever got them into it.
Yeah.
Now what they didn't know was when they sent that stuff in, they didn't know it was going to be edited like they were talking about this new Gem character.
Yeah.
So it was completely edited. People were really mad about it. They edited everything together to make it seem more like they were talking about this. But if you clearly watch some of those scenes, you can see people are watching the cartoon in the background or have the Gem shirt, or actually there's like someone doing the tutorial, like how to do the makeup, but it's not makeup Gem ever wears in this movie.
No.
So it's like awkward. And I guess people were very pissed off.
Yeah. It's probably just like you know, 80s fans.
No.
Like loving Gem and talking about it. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And so here's the problem. Now I understand what the director was trying to do. And I think this is one of those moments again where people get mad and they shit on something that had good intent. I don't think this director was doing it out of bad intent. I think he really wanted to get fans because he himself was a big fan growing up. Right. So he said like he just wanted to get the fans involved in it in any way possible and share in the love that he has for it as well. And now people went nuts. Now the problem is, people got mad that they were edited the way they were. These are the people who are going to pay to see the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not new people who have no idea who Gem is. They're not going to care. This isn't a movie that was destined to make a lot of money.
Right.
There's no way this was destined to be a hit. Because Gem is very culty. Like, there's fans of it. The nostalgia fans are fans. But there is no new generations becoming obsessed. There might be because of, you know, mothers getting the little kids involved. But I'm saying that it's not becoming a thing where we have a new Gem cartoon.
Right.
We have never had another Gem cartoon, whereas Transformers have had multiple versions of cartoons.
What, 1982?
It's a huge phenomenon that's like keeps going. Michael Bay resurrected it, you know? So I don't think that's happening for Gem, but I think the problem is once you piss off those fans, those are the ones going to see your movie.
Right.
And if the fans are so like you were, I'm not seeing that movie because it's not the thing I love. These things fail.
No, I knew when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up because I knew it was going to be like, you know, this teeny bopper crap that they don't know anything that they're talking about. It has to be by a real person from, you know, that knows the 80s and was there.
But again, what this is, I guess that's the thing that really gets me bothered because you can only do two things here. You either make a period piece or you make a Brady Bunch Addams Family joke where they're out of time.
Hmm.
And it how many times can you do it out of time before it gets stale?
True.
And do you do the 80s period piece? I think that you do the update, and I think this movie did a well enough job trying to get to what it was trying to do. I think that this movie got a bad rap. I don't think this is an awful film.
I don't think this is an awful film either. I'm surprised at how awful it's not, because I thought I was just going to be screaming and carrying on like a lunatic, because, you know, I mean, I love this cartoon. And I grew up, you know, in that time where we had all the best shit. And I just love this cartoon. So, like, thinking that this is going to be like some Hannah Montana freaking Miley Cyrus garbage, that's what I didn't want to deal with.
Some people are fans of that too, yeah.
I am not. I don't want to see my beloved 80s cartoons turned to trash. So that's why I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, but, and that's another thing too, is like, everybody wants a version of a thing, right? Everybody wants a live action version. Everybody wants a thing until they get it. And when they get it, they're like, it's not the thing that I want. And unfortunately, it can't be, because if you take the cheesy premise of an old cartoon and try to update it, how do you do it? You know, like movies like Barbie successfully did an idea where it really turned out to be the clever approach to it, where they're dissecting the idea of Barbie. And yeah, that's a very clever thing.
It was a really good social commentary movie.
It is. And whereas can Jem be that? But I think Jem tried. There, like I said, there was. And when I say that this movie's not that bad, there are so many problems. Like,
there's a lot of problems.
There's problems like her becoming sensation off one YouTube video. And I personally didn't think that one song was good enough to be that hit.
No, people do this shit all the time. There are really excellent singers on YouTube.
All the time.
Talented, talented people that put videos on YouTube for years, yeah, and they don't get attention. This girl sings one song.
Look at American Idol. It's like the runner-up always becomes this huge sensation.
Right. It's always the freaking runner-up, too. Look it's never the winner.
They had to be on American Idol and doing it over and over each week.
Yeah.
Trying to get people to love them.
Well, unless you're like Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. I mean, look at
Carrie Underwood.
I listen to postmodern jukebox, and the people on there are incredibly talented people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was a Haley Reinhart who did that, and she was, mm-hmm, on American Idol. And it's like, she didn't win. She wasn't even a runner-up, and she's a super talented person. Mm-hmm. Not that famous, not Jem, not people already going nuts in the streets for them.
Right. It was just one day, and then they were, like, holding up signs. I'm like, come on.
They didn't. That's one of the flaws of this movie. It's like, they didn't build it exactly like the build for later on, when this movie does the typical thing where they have to do a heist and, like, steal Jem's earrings back, because for some reason Juliette Lewis took them away from her when she didn't go, these were my father's.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you, you're not taking my earrings that my father gave me.
It's like, that seemed like a scene that was edited in to go, oh, we have the earrings in the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, but we've shot a lot of the movie without them. Oh, crap, we'll just do the scene where she puts them in a box. That's how, right, I was like, this had to be another add-in and scene.
Yeah, also, we didn't talk about how Rio ended up, you know, owning Starlight Entertainment.
That's
because
why I brought that up.
Yeah, that they went back to retrieve the earrings, and his father's will was in the safe.
Of course.
And so the will clearly stated that he would be the owner of Starlight Entertainment, not Juliette Lewis.
But quote unquote, when he felt he was ready.
When he felt he was ready? Really?
Yeah. And I love this. This is my favorite line of dialogue in this movie. Juliette Lewis goes, yeah, but nobody will know the will because I only have it. And I was like, I don't think that's how wills work.
I'm pretty
sure there's called something called lawyers.
You have to file it with the court system.
And the father's lawyer who wrote that will would have had his best interest in line, since his will was dedicated, yeah, for that kid to get that
there
damn
thing.
There would
be a fucking paper trail.
It would be a paper trail. Julia Lewis is like acting like, what, did she kill the lawyer? Like,
I know.
What happened
it's
there?
It's so crazy, but she gets the boot. So
yeah,
they,
her own son
her
kicks
own
her out.
Her own son kicks her out and says, you're no longer working for Starlight. So we get a mid-credit cut scene, and I was saying to you throughout the movie, I said, you know what? We ain't got no misfits here. Where's the misfits? Because I knew that we couldn't fit them into this situation, but I wanted them. I needed something that is, you know, from the show. And so you see her, Juliette Lewis, go down a back alley or something. And you see Jetta and Stormer and Roxy. And I was like, yes, even though it just gave me the nostalgia tingles. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. I was like, you really? You're saving this for the end when we know there's not going to be another movie? And then I was like, okay, where's Pizzazz? Because, you know, Pizzazz is the leader. She's a little freaking snotty little snotterton. I was like, where's Pizzazz? She's got to show up. She's got to. Here she comes down the stairs. Now, you pointed this out. I had no idea that Pizzazz was being played by Kesha.
This is her acting debut.
I had no idea, but it was pretty funny. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So then she's like, oh, you know, we have to get them out of there. We have to get Jem out of there. You know, she's ruined me and blah, blah, blah. And Pizzazz says, we are the misfits. Our songs are better. We're gonna get her. I was like, you did not go there.
Ladies, hi. So this is where you've been hiding for all these years. I love the decorating, if that's what you call this. You got a lot of nerve coming here. Especially after you dropped us from the label. Said that she wanted to... What was that, Stormer, that she said?
Geez, Roxy, you know, I can't even remember. Didn't she say she could just replace us with some other band? How'd that work out for you? I guess that just goes to show you how easily people can be replaced at Starlight. Doesn't it, Erica?
That's fair, Jetta. I can see why you would be mad. But a lot has happened. Especially since Rio fell in love with Jem.
Wait.
Pizzazz.
Rio's with her?
Yeah. I'm not just looking for another band. Not anymore. I need something dynamic and powerful. I need one that would be willing to destroy Jem.
Lady, you came to the right place. Our songs are better. We're gonna get her.
You did that. I was feeling like all the nostalgia, like pins and needles. I was like, ee! But that was it. And then they pan over to like the wall and you can see that it's like graffitied and it says the Misfits on it. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, this is so wonderful.
I gotta point this out to you because you didn't pick up who the other people were.
What other people?
Who the other Misfits were. So one of your, you think recently you talked a lot about on our episode we did called, on a movie called Ash we saw recently. So Jetta was played by Isa Gonzalez from
that
movie.
No, that was her.
I thought you were going to pick it up
instantly.
I was
like, holy shit, that girl's really pretty.
Yep.
I didn't pick that up at all.
I know this actress too.
So who's playing Stormer?
Stormer was Katie Finlay. I recognize her. She was on Fringe, but I don't know how much of Fringe. But Roxy was Hannah Mae Lee, and she is in Pitch Perfect. She was one of the... Yeah, so I was like, she was the awkward one. That sings really good, too.
Okay.
I was like, I recognize all these girls.
Oh,
like,
my
all
God.
These ladies. I knew instantly. I was like,
that's,
oh, I know
so
all of them.
Funny.
But I knew that was a Isa Gonzalez. I was waiting for you to pick it up. I was like, oh my
no,
God, is
I
that
was,
her?
No, I was like feeling, I was looking at them and I was like trying to, like me though, because like, I was like, okay, they don't look anything like their cartoon counterparts. And I'm like, but that would be like overly ridiculous because if you ever look at them,
yeah.
Look at the Misfits from the cartoon and they're like, I mean, just sprayed with neon and it's
like,
just, it's so out of control.
Yeah.
But they do dress better. You do.
What, this version or that version?
No, like Misfits from the cartoon. They dress better than Jem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so punked out and stuff. I love it. And it's next level insane. But I was really, I think that I had all the feels. Like I got some feels. I was really happy that Britta Phillips showed up, but like I got all the feels when they showed up, because I was like, okay, they're not even going to put them in here or mention them or anything. Like, come on, man. This is the whole entire cartoon. It's just them battling musically. So like, how could you not?
Yeah, I was telling you, because you were saying no Misfits are going to be in this movie, huh? And I knew that this end credit sequence was here. But I was thinking the whole time, like, you got to realize they have to tell a story about her becoming Jem. They can't do Jem, Misfits, everything in one movie. I guess they could, but it's a lot.
If they had done it right, instead of all that, like, stupid, crappy dialogue and pointless scenes of them singing on the beach and stuff with Rio,
yeah.
I'm like, come on, you could have cut some of this crap out, and then you could have fit the Misfits in somehow. I mean, for us, you know, older kids, and we want the, you know, nostalgia, you could have put that shit in there. You could have just moved some stuff around.
Yeah.
This movie felt like it was 3 hours long anyway.
It is a very long movie, actually. And I would say that I didn't really feel it. You did at one point.
I did.
I will say that a lot of the YouTuber stuff that was put in the movie,
yeah.
It took up a lot. There's a part which it goes into the whole thing that I think, oh, this kind of works, where Jem goes out on stage. They play this montage of people sharing that they also feel like they don't belong,
yeah,
you know, and they don't feel right, and they play a montage and they link up all the videos like they're doing one sentence, like, which is kind of cool, and I get what they're going for, but I don't know if that padding of the time is needed, and especially when Jem comes out and she does a speech on stage telling the world, like, well, no, we're all Jem, like everybody who feels like they can't do something, you know. They,
right.
You know, who feels alone, who feels like separated, who feels like they can't share their art and stuff like that. You know, just know that you are Jem, like you're me, exactly what I am. We can all do this together.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, very pretty idea.
Okay, yeah,
very
it was cool a good concept. Idea. But they see with the YouTube stuff and the stupid, ridiculous cameos that they had, you know, edited heavily, like The Rock and Chris Pratt,
or using
Alicia
Jimmy
Keys.
Jimmy Fallon obviously talking about when he was watching the cartoon as a kid,
yeah,
and they played it like he was watching a show, and it edited in a way where it didn't make sense.
He was talking to Alicia Keys about Jem and how he watched it, you know, with his sister or whatever. Did.
But that would make sense for the show, for them watching the right. girl singing on stage.
Like, it made no sense. Like, you can trim all that fat, okay? Yeah. Trim that fat and put the Misfits in there somehow, you know? Like, they could have had, like, a little rivalry, like, when they first got to Starlight Entertainment. But at this point, Pizzazz and the Misfits don't work at Starlight anymore.
Yes.
So, you know, that would have not worked out, I guess. But they could have done something.
Apparently, Rio's ex-girlfriend is very upset. So, yeah, look, here's the deal. And I got to say this last thing. Now, one of the things that gets sketchy, because I'm like, oh, he seemed like he wanted to get a good message here, which we've seen him try to do these messages in other movies. I know a lot of people love Wicked. I wasn't a big fan, but I do appreciate the message of, you know, you don't, you know, being special or being different is a power, is a it makes you more pretty, it makes you beautiful, like in your own way. I love that kind of message, but I feel like that movie has a lot of mixed messages.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing goes here. Like, that message is there, but it's messed up. Now, where I feel like the message is even more messed up is that he expressed that he wanted to have a Hasbro universe crossovers.
Oh, gee.
And that he worked on G.I. Joe and he worked on this and he was planning to make a series that connected.
And
he was talking with them to make Transformers connect. And now we do know that within the last Transformers movie, not the cartoon, but the live action Beast War movie, they did bring G.I. Joe involved into it. Now, all I kept thinking was, how the fuck would the Jem and the holograms mix into this universe?
Are they going to have a doo-wop group, you know, yeah, with the freaking burning barrel on the side of the city in New York?
Nice.
The side of the street. They're just like, you know.
I can only see G.I. Joe Duke is like, or Flint is like, you know what? There's only one thing I know that would help us battle Cobra Commander and Megatron's team up with the Misfits.
Synergy?
The only thing is synergy. We need synergy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, okay. Like, There was a programmer who was working on a device that could do holographic imagery. We need synergy. Get me Jem in the holograms.
I mean, it's almost as a shame that this movie didn't make it because, I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't, but I'm just saying that if we would have gotten a movie with the Misfits battling Jem, that would have been fun.
Especially with the actors they lined up.
That's, I mean, I crazy. Would like to see Kesha as Pizzazz. I mean, that's
weird.
Fun.
She looked really strange at the end of this movie, though. I will say that.
I mean, have you ever seen what Pizzazz actually looks like?
I know. No, you're right. She looked so weird in this.
It's ridiculous. But yeah. So
when I saw how you say her name?
I think it's Isa Gonzalez.
Isa Gonzalez. When she walked out, I was like, okay, she's definitely not one of the Misfits.
Oh wow. Well, yeah, she is.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. Oh. I was like, I don't remember the Misfits looking this good.
Oh.
And then Kesha walked in, and I was like, okay, that's more my speed.
I mean,
she had the craziest eyebrows.
I am showing Scott a picture of what Pizzazz from the cartoon looks like, and it's just next level. There you go. Green, neon green. Oh, everywhere. Goodness.
It's like one of the people backstage waiting for Motley Crue now.
Oh, you got the age group right.
Yeah. So,
all right. So this is not the worst movie you've ever seen.
It's not the worst
movie. It's not going on our list.
It's not going on the list. No. It's not even questionable.
No.
And my question to you is, since we're doing a theme of this month, is this better than Masters of the Universe that we did last week?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. People love that movie.
Both Lundgren and Sanderson walking around in a freaking greased up shit. I can't take it. He was just not, his body was great,
yeah,
but he himself is not, he did no acting at all. He sucked.
I'm going to say, look, I got to ask you this. You were taking notes during this movie. You were angry during this movie. So yeah. I don't hear it from you. Because I said we might have the opposite conversation on the show, because I think while I was watching, I was like, I don't hate this movie. I've seen way worse movies. This isn't great because it's got a lot of bad, like the story is just not getting there. But, and there's a lot of things in there that are questionable. But I kept going, this isn't terrible at all. This is a 5. But I kept thinking, what is she going to talk about? Why is she going to hate it so much?
I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't. I feel like, I mean, this is, like I said, this is a hard movie to translate from the cartoon to live action. It was a hard movie because there's so much ridiculousness in the cartoon. I mean, Synergy literally is like magic. I mean, Jerrica gets transformed into Jem. Right off this, like a magic wand has been, you know, waved. Yeah. So it's literal magic. It's not even technology. It's like, you know, the earrings are connected to her, which are connected to Synergy, which change her whole entire look. It's bonkers. I mean, it's just not, how do you do something like that in a live action? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And how do you make it make sense? How do you make something like that make sense?
It's like, any movie we just watched Mission Impossible 2 the other night, and people are ripping off their face masks like there's no tomorrow.
Oh,
like
for Christ's sake,
they all have instant face masks. Here, I wouldn't question it if they were like, it creates a holographic image around people that makes them look and seem and dress the way that they want. And if you're wearing the earrings, and I was like, that's all you have to do. And I think that we'll buy it. And I was like, I think that would be a really cool creative idea here. And I think they could have made an interesting movie around that. I don't know why. Now, here's what pisses me off. I think that if kids watch this movie, they probably would really love it.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. It's not just It's not just Jerrica that gets transformed. I mean, Kimber no longer looks like a 14-year-old kid. You know, Aja and you know, Shayna, they change too, big time.
Well, I assume that it's a tie to whatever. Do they wear earrings as well?
No.
Mm-mm. So how does it work for them?
Only Jerrica has them. I mean, I'm guessing they just do a makeover.
Jesus.
But only Jerrica has the earrings. Only Jerrica is linked directly to Synergy. I mean, it's crazy. But I mean, I guess they could have done it with a little bit more, you know, with the technology a little bit. They could have done that. I mean, it wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing on earth, but
it's just a transition. They wouldn't have to do digital effects. They could have just done transitions into each other. It wouldn't have been anything really difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm like saying. Like, I cannot believe this was such a hated, low-rated movie that was removed from the theaters like instantly because it's such a bomb.
I thought I was going to be really mad, but you know what? I'm just like, whatever.
I'm like, I'm very surprised. If if little girls had watched this movie when it came out in the theater, I think they would have been more of a hit.
Yeah,
I mean, think they would have liked the ideas of it.
This movie made it so that you don't really have to know the cartoon. Like, if you never knew anything about the cartoon and you just went into this movie, you'll be fine.
That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine people being that angry, but...
Well, because the 40-somethings, you know, that are full of nostalgia and they don't want their beloved 80s cartoons to be wrecked, I get that because I kind of, like, feel that too. But then on the other hand, I'm like, okay, well, Jem is, you know, it's kind of... They did what they could do. I mean, like you said, they could have added in some technology there where they could have just really transformed her and made her, like, you know, put holographic images of whatever. But
I think that people just want to complain just to complain, because let's face facts. What people basically want is just a copy of the thing that they saw when they were a kid put onto the screen.
Right. But
and it's like, it's no, you not, don't want that.
It's no.
Because they'll complain that way too. They'll be like, it's too much of the same.
Either way, you know, people would find a way to complain.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the weakest thing in this movie was, in fact, Synergy. I think they could have done...
It just was misused.
Yeah, they could have done something better. They did change things to make some sense. But then on the other hand, you know, having her be a teenager made no sense because she didn't go to school.
Yes.
She didn't, you know, that it was just... All that was thrown out the window. But I understand why they couldn't make her, you know, 21, 22 years old. I understand that. Because then she would have, you want to appeal
to kids as well.
Yeah. You would have to add in that she's head of Starlight Entertainment. She runs Starlight House and all that stuff. And then they have to add in a plot of how she acquired all these runaways and, you know, things like that. It just gets too complicated.
They could have set up that they all had terrible jobs, that they were graduated, but they had terrible jobs. They were trying to keep the place afloat, and maybe they were, like, orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have, like, connected to it, and that Molly Ringwald wasn't their mother. That, you know, right. I mean, the aunt, I mean, that they didn't have any connection. They were just an adopted family.
Right.
Of these people who are trying to help each other out and stay a family. And then that's when they take the gem and the holograms thing to get away from that, also keep afloat, and then keep hidden because of their personal lives. It's they could have done it so much easier.
They could have, yeah.
It's so crazy that they went another route. But are you going to give it a 5 as well? Or
yeah.
Yeah, it's a 5. It's definitely a 4 is way too low. I cannot believe it. Like, it's a 4.2, so it's very low.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's pretty low. I don't know. I mean, a 5 is mediocre, so I'll give it a 5.
Yeah.
I won't care that I watched this.
Yeah. You know, we've seen some movies that people, like, love, and, like, you know, like the Spice Girls movie, and people, like, love it. And I think that this is kind of better. Like, I know that movie's got this cheesy, like, fun, trying to do a Hard Day's Night type of thing with it, trying to make a comedy out of it, like the Beatles did. And I do see that that's fun, but it's so cheesy and so dated. This movie is like, no, I get it. This makes sense.
Yeah.
I get for the time that they, I'm going to give this guy a little more credit than he deserves for making the movie the way he did. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know.
What does the internet say?
The internet, okay, so this brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things, where I'll read out two extremes of online reviews, a 1-star review and a 10-star review, as proof that people can't rate movies and they ruin it for everybody, which has a big bearing on this 4.2.
It's all going to be a tax, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll start with a 1. Truly outrageous. That's real, real creative there, yeah. Pal.
Please tell me it was written by Pizzazz.
No, I think it was actually a, I don't know, a dude, maybe? I don't know. Really? It was truly outrageous because of how terrible it was. Gem in name only. This movie resembled absolutely nothing from the series, and the acting was so cringeworthy, I could barely watch them spew their lines out. I would like to blame it on their youth, but there are many young female actors who are far superior. I really am disappointed in this movie. The trailer on YouTube has more dislikes than likes. That's how terrible it is.
Wow.
After all the excitement I had about finally seeing a Gem movie in the works, I can't really explain how I feel let down by it. If you grew up wanting to be Gem like I did, then seriously, you're going to leave the theater feeling annoyed and quite frankly bored. The storyline left a lot to be desired. It really felt more like Hannah Montana than the holograms. A pretty yet plain, uncool, sobbing girl who magically becomes a web sensation overnight, even though she's not a cat playing the piano. It just didn't feel real, especially when a wig and pink eyeshadow are hardly the tools of a master of disguise.
Yeah.
It was genuinely nothing like I remember. Nothing like the girls who inspired me to dye my hair bright colors, and it was a total waste of money. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that they do make a good point that we didn't get to talk about was the fact that I kept questioning in my mind during the movie going, beyond how do they get so famous so fast, I kept questioning, how does nobody know them? Like these girls, don't they have people in their lives?
Don't they have friends?
Other friends, men, have they never dated? No one's coming out and saying they know any of these girls? Like, especially since Kimber is set up to be somebody who has an internet presence.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody recognizes her. And it is strange. And I definitely think that is something I wanted to talk about. I forgot about. But yeah, it's one of the flaws. But overall, when you put away that stuff, it's like, eh, is this really that bad of an interpretation of a thing? No, I don't think so. But all to their own, pizzazz, or whoever that is, Cobra Commander 1, whoever wrote that.
All right, so this is the 10 out of 10. Truly outrageous.
Oh, you got a theme going on here.
I went into this movie with mid-level expectations. I'm the type of person to give anything a chance if I call myself a fan of what it's based on. Gem is one of those instances. I grew up on Gem and have loved every aspect since I was a small child and my sister brought it home by mistake for me from the video store. This movie was a glorious surprise for me. It had everything I wanted, and if anybody is a fan of Marvel Comics, think of this movie as Gem's ultimate universe. A modern refashioning of something classic with a great potential to be amazing. And in my opinion, it succeeded in being amazing.
I'm so confused about the universe thing.
This is being likened to a Marvel Comics movie.
I don't know how or why.
I guess if you were living in Gem's world, this would be like the ultimate Gem movie, the ultimate universe, like the ultimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
guess the
baffled.
Ultimate Gem movie.
All right.
I don't know.
Sure.
I
think why not?
This review is a bit ridiculous because
I think both these reviews are truly outrageous.
I mean, I grew up on Gem, and I'm going to tell you, I've been not wanting to watch this movie because I love Gem. I don't think that it paid any kind of homage to my cartoon except for one or two little things here and there. I don't think that. But again, it's hard to do something like that, you know, on point, you know, to like, you know, the 900th degree.
You would have to make it an 80s movie. And
yeah.
I don't know if anybody would want to see that either, but I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, show's over, Synergy.
I was going to ask if you wanted us to play. You wanted to play us out, but I guess, yeah, that's it. We both think that this is a mediocre film, not as bad as the ratings suggest. So we actually disagree with the rating system on this movie, which is interesting.
Yep.
And so far, this is a step up from last week. So next week, we'll be stepping down again to watch a movie called Riverdale. Archie, The Return to Riverdale. It was here and back again or something like that. Something crazy like that.
The muse is contagious.
A live-action Archie film that we never knew existed.
You know, Archie is also a band. The Archies.
Yeah, you didn't bring that up.
No.
I forgot about that.
Sugar.
That's right.
Honey.
We've just been demonetized.
Oh, my God.
Not that we were ever monetized.
Well, how about the muse is contagious. Jem is my name. No one else is the same. Jem is my name.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Because we got heart. Because we got heart. Because we got heart. Me and you. Me and you.
Shut up! I'm trying to sleep! Stupid kids.